Drivers from the ASLEF union are also refusing to work on overtime. Let's speak to Miranda Grell, former advisor for ACAS, the Reconciliation Service. Good morning, Miranda.
Morning, Callum.
I was struck, first of all, to talk to you about this by a comment from Mick Lynch, the General Secretary of the RMT, who noted in a response last night that the Rail Delivery Group has formally responded to our initiative to try to reach a negotiated settlement to the national dispute. He says, while it's encouraging that the train operating companies want to continue dialogue with us next week, a fresh proposal will be needed to progress the dispute towards a settlement. What do you make, first of all, then, of that, that it feels like, for the first time in months, the two sides might be about to engage?
Yes, which is extremely positive. However, these strikes, since the last time we've spoken, have escalated even more into becoming political strikes. So though it's very, very welcome that the two sides on the ground, and that's the word I would use, are having these discussions, we can't forget that there are definitely ministers in the background, and the government is going to have a strong say in what's going on. So I don't think, in terms of the train operating companies, the Rail Delivery Group, that they can negotiate with a completely free hand. This has got such high political stakes that the government is essentially the third person in the room, even if that's not coming across in the public statements of the unions or the employees at this stage.
Third person in the room, but also potentially not in the room. And is that, are we seeing a sort of real sluggishness about these talks because of that, so that the government might remain out with the talks and then intervene or have their say at a later stage? And then that sort of puts the brakes on things once again.
Absolutely. And I think that must be going on here. And when I come onto your programmes, I always like to have a historical perspective, because I think we've had these sorts of disputes before. And when I was having a read for today's programme, what I read was about the government and their intervention, their role when the miners' strike was taking place. And there were secret talks that started off, according to what I've read, over a bottle of Chablis in the House of Lords. And these were secret talks between the then deputy leader of the Conservatives and the deputy leader of the National Union of Mine Workers. And Margaret Thatcher, who was our prime minister at the time, was intimately involved, definitely involved, pulling the strings, telling them whether they could negotiate or not negotiate. And what is interesting about this strike, but also the junior and junior doctors and the senior doctors strike, and we'll talk about that as well, because that's got resonance with what's going on with the train strike. Margaret Thatcher was involved, and she said pull out, and they pulled out, and the unions at the moment are actually naming Rishi Sunak directly in this strike. So they're now saying there's nowhere for him to hide in the case of the junior doctors. So this does go right to the top. I'm not sure how interested Rishi Sunak is, but his name is now being brought into the mix. So if there are not secret talks happening already, I would assume that there are going to have to be some. The political stakes of this are very, very high.
That's really interesting, because that immediately makes me think that a lot of this, one, if Rishi Sunak was to be involved in any of the disputes that you mentioned, whether it's rail, whether it's doctors, whatever, then actually he could be the deal broker. He could be the one who could intervene at what is, let's be real, a late stage. These strikes have been going on for so long, and he could find the deal. But then part of it, as you say, because it's so political, surely comes down to who is going to get credit for resolving the dispute. And I wonder how big, how loud a voice, if you like, that is in considerations here, is who is going to be the one who walks away looking like the person who fixed it.
Yes, well, there are two things here, because we're talking about the train drivers today, but the doctors as well, as you will know, announced coordinated strikes. And so what we've seen today are coordinated strikes from those who work on the railways, drivers and other staff, and the doctors, junior and consultants, have got together. So the name of the game at the moment, this in this episode of this really dramatic soap opera, and this is another episode in it, it's coordinated. And the junior doctors are actually going to have one of their coordinated strikes to coincide with the start of Conservative Party conference at the beginning of October. So that is really to put political pressure on the Prime Minister. In terms of who could broker the talks, I have to say, I was quite amused to hear Hamza Yousaf, the First Minister of Scotland, offering to be the mediator and hold talks in either London or Edinburgh. I thought that was pure politics. He may well mean it genuinely, but he surely must know that a Conservative government with a dispute in England is not going to ask the leader of the Scottish National Party in Scotland to broker the talks.
No,
So
exactly. But it's a
it's
great
so
tactic, isn't it?
interesting.
It's a great little device to just sort of have a little jab at the
Yeah.
unresolved disputes in England.
It really is. And that's a new development as well, isn't it? That we've not seen up to now. The SNP now getting involved, which again makes it political. This is something we've not had at any stage so far, Callum.
I'm fascinated also by the SNP's willingness to offer advice on how to resolve disputes, because they've got plenty quite close to home that they need to sort before they intervene in anyone else's, one might say.
Indeed.
I also want to ask you just about kind of steps forward, perhaps in the rail dispute specifically. The Times reports this morning that there might be a reprieve for some ticket offices and therefore some staff because of this huge response to the consultation on closing ticket offices. Over 500,000 responses, the biggest ever to a public consultation. And I just wonder, Miranda, if that sort of I suppose if there was a willingness from train operating companies to back down a bit on that proposal, could that be a way in for progress on the wider talks around the wider dispute?
Yes, because what they're doing is showing a willingness to give a bit. Everybody has to give a bit. Everything is so tight. There now needs to be some flexibility on both sides. You've got to have some flexibility. You've got to have something in your back pocket that you can put forward that really oils the wheels of this juggernaut that we want to get moving again. And it's a juggernaut that's just standing still. So, yes, I think that's showing goodwill. It's something that resonates with the public. I read yesterday that there are people with disabilities and disabled campaigners who are not happy. They say they've not been consulted. So this would have cut through to the public. And any discussions like that, what both sides are trying to do is get the public on side in this kind of public relations war. So anything that does that will aid their hand. It will strengthen their hand when they have talks in private. Yes.
Miranda, it's so fascinating to speak to you. Gosh, perhaps then there can be some progress at some stage. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Callum. Bye-bye.
That's Miranda Grell. Cheers now, former advisor for ACAS, the Conciliation Service.